The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I believe we have that scripture back there that he'll put up on the screen so that you can see that. And as you look at that passage that is there in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, it tells us in the last days, basically the list in that scripture, that list is talking, men are going to be selfish. Men are going to live for themselves, and they're not going to care, it says, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, despisers of those that are good, traitors, disobedient to parents, blasphemers. That list, everywhere there that it's talking in that passage, what is it saying? Men are going to live for themselves. And what do people that live for themselves do? People that live for themselves are people that hurt other people. Because when you live for yourself, you don't care what anybody else is doing. You don't care how it makes them feel. It's all about you. And the Bible tells us that in the last days, and we won't take time to study through all of that, but that's what it's going to be. It's going to be all about looking out for me, and people won't care. They'll be despisers of those that are good. They'll be those that will hurt others. Would you take your Bibles this evening and turn to Genesis chapter number 50? Understanding that in the last days, the world is going to be filled with those that are living for self, which in turn means they're going to be hurt. What does that tell us? All of us in our lives are being, or will be hurt in our lives. And tonight I bring you a simple message entitled, How to Handle Your Hurt. From the familiar passage of Genesis chapter number 50, because of the sin that is in this world, because of the fallen world that we live in, and then because of, on top of all of that, now, the world's always been filled since the fall of man, since Adam's curse, the world's been filled with those that have lived for self and have hurt others. But the Bible tells us that's only going to ramp up as time goes on, and as people live for themselves. Husbands won't care about wives, and wives won't care about husbands, and without natural affection, we'll abandon our children. That's not natural. We'll hurt other people, and you look and study the statistics on whatever it may be, and I come from a broken home, but you study the statistics on divorce and on abuse and on molestation and whatever it might be in every area, those statistics on violence, people are hurting other people. That's what hurt people do. Hurt people. And we need to understand in our lives that hurt is a part of life. And we have been hurt, we are being hurt, or we will be hurt. May I say this? The truth of the matter is we will hurt others as well. And as Christians, we need to understand biblically how should we handle our hurts. Because you see, how we handle yesterday's hurts today always affects our tomorrow. We cannot allow that which has happened in our past to define and dictate our future. Genesis chapter number 50 is the familiar story for most of us of Joseph. There probably, I don't know that you can be betrayed in a much deeper or greater way than Joseph was, humanly speaking. Joseph was betrayed by those that should have loved him the most. Joseph was sold into slavery. They were going to kill him, and Joseph was sold into slavery, and then he went through all that. He ended up in the prison. It just seemed like one right after another, Joseph was hurt. Joseph was hurt. Joseph was hurt. Then there would be a glimmer of hope. He got into Potiphar's house. Then he was falsely accused, sent to prison. Then he would do right in prison, and somebody said, I'm going to get out. I'm going to remember you, and then he forgot him. He was stuck in prison for a couple more years. And Joseph lost his relationships with his family. He lost his relationships with all the friends that he had grown up with. Joseph had been the ultimately betrayed and hurt by those that should have loved him most. And it didn't stop there. As you study the life of Joseph, it was one hurt right after another. And we come to the end of the life of Joseph. We're going to take a few lessons tonight and learn a few things about how to handle our hurts. We come to verse number 15, Genesis chapter number 50, verse number 15, and the Bible says, And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. A little background for those that maybe aren't as familiar, or just to remind or refresh our memories for the rest of us. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. He ended up in Egypt. Joseph kept doing right, and after one hurt, right after another, year after year after year after year, finally, all of that by living right, doing right, God promoted him, God blessed him, God made him the second in command of the most powerful country on earth. And God gave Joseph great wisdom, the years of plenty and the years of famine that were coming. And because of that, Egypt had all kinds of food, and other countries were in a great famine. And so you recall the story when his brothers came to get food. They didn't realize it was Joseph, but Joseph saw it was them. And Joseph said, is your dad still alive? And the long story and many messages can be preached there. And the family, and the long story short is, the family ended up being reunited with Joseph in Egypt. That which seemed impossible that day when he was cast into the pit, God had restored all of those blessings and all of those joys. And now Joseph is living with his family in great harmony. God has restored all of that which had been taken away from him. And Joseph's living there, and now, as they're all living, enjoying that, he got to see his brothers again, he got to see his dad again, they live together, his dad dies. Now, all of the hurt in the past was water under the bridge, Joseph thought. But now, once his dad dies, the verse we just read, Joseph's brothers say, hey guys, now that dad's dead, now Joseph's going to get back at us. Because they were saying, if we were Joseph, we would probably treat him the way we expect him to treat us. They didn't understand how Joseph had handled his hurt. They didn't understand the perspective that Joseph had. And they said, hey guys, now that dad's dead, Joseph's going to repay us all the evil. Yeah, Joseph was being nice to us, and Joseph said he forgave us, but that was only because dad was alive. Now notice what happens in verse number 16. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And notice this, and Joseph wept when they spake unto him. These guys heard him once again, because they didn't believe Joseph truly had forgiven them, and they're back to lying and manipulating again. They said, hey guys, hey, now let's send a messenger over to Joseph, and hey, let's make up a story that right before dad died, on his deathbed, hey, messenger, you're going to go tell Joseph, right before dad died, he said, be nice to your brothers, because they did wrong, but they're sorry about it, and be nice to them. And Joseph heard this, and it broke his heart. And Joseph began weeping, and Joseph, once again, these brothers that he had forgiven, and he had loved, and he had brought back into the family, they begin manipulating, and they're lying once again. They're saying things that are not true. Their dad had never said this. And notice this in verse number 18. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. These guys, 20, and that's a whole other message for another time, but 22 years later, these guys are still living with the guilt of what they had done. They're still living under the burden of the way they had treated their brother. And they're thinking, they're constantly looking over their shoulder. Joseph's just waiting for a chance to get back at us. We did Joseph so wrong. He didn't deserve any of that. We sold him into prison. Joseph didn't deserve that. And more than two decades later, they're still living under the burden of that guilt. And they come and they bow before him and they said, Joseph, we'll be your servants. We'll be your slaves. Just don't kill us. Just don't send us to prison. Whatever you want, we'll do that. And now notice, this is an amazing verse. Verse number 19, amazing passage we're going to study tonight. Beginning in verse number 19 here, it says, and Joseph said unto them, notice the next two words, church, what are they? Fear not. For am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. In this passage, and I'm going to bring you, if you're sitting by a child with the outline, you're looking, thinking, man, he has a lot of points tonight. This could be a really long message. I'm going to give you a few quick practical thoughts from Genesis 50 on how to handle your hurts. I don't know who's hurt you. I don't know who's betrayed you. I don't know who's done you wrong. I don't know if it's been within the church. I don't know if it's been a family member, somebody at work. Guess what? If you're around sinful people long enough, you will be hurt. If you're around church members long enough, you will be hurt, and so will I. And I will hurt people. I don't know who it is that has hurt you, maybe as a child or a teenager or a young adult or as a married couple. I don't know when, I don't know where, but all of us should learn from the example of Joseph how to handle our hurt. And what did Joseph do? Number one, I see, how should we handle our hurt? Number one, we must learn to get private victory. We must learn to get private. That's kind of spooky. Man, that guy's like staring at me right when I looked up. That was kind of a scary screen right there. I hadn't noticed that. Get private victory. What happened here? Joseph, somewhere along the way, had chosen to forgive his brothers. And we actually don't find anywhere that they ever sincerely came and asked for forgiveness or repented. But somewhere along the way, Joseph got private victory in his own life, not because they had asked for it, but because he wasn't going to live with bitterness and animosity. He wasn't going to live with unforgiveness. He wasn't going to allow the way that he had been hurt in his past to define his future. You say, how do you know that he got private victory? Well, I know a few different ways. One way, when he got to Egypt, he wasn't bitter at God. He was still living for God in the midst of terrible influences. When he had opportunity to sin and to do wrong, he didn't deny God. He didn't go away from God. He still lived for God. That's one way that I know. One of the strongest ways that I know that Joseph got private victory, when his brothers showed up and he knew who they were and they didn't know who he was, guess what? Joseph had all the power at that point. The tables were turned. He wasn't the man in the pit anymore. He was the man in the palace. They were the beggars. They had no idea who he was. And he very easily and very quickly could have had them put to death. He could have had them cast into prison. He could have had anything done that he wanted to. But Joseph didn't respond that way. Why? Somewhere, I believe maybe it was in the pit. I don't know where. But somewhere, I believe early on, Joseph decided, I'm not going to allow the hurts of yesterday to define my tomorrow. I'm not going to allow that bitterness to creep in that the Bible says, that root of bitterness that springs up and defiles many. I'm not going to allow that to define my life. I'm going to get private victory between me and my God. And you know what? When he got private victory and he forgave his brothers, it led him to the prison. Life didn't get all better all of a sudden. He still had some years of waiting ahead of him, but he got private victory. He didn't live in bitterness. I wish something bad would happen to them. I wish I could get back, and God hasn't been fair to me, and I wish I could hurt them. Oh no, Joseph got private victory in his life, and he said, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Fear not. Number one, get private victory. We must learn to forgive even those that have not asked for forgiveness. Forgiveness is as much for you as it is for them. It has been said, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and to discover that that prisoner was you. You will know that forgiveness has begun when you recall those who hurt you and feel the power to wish them well. That's a powerful statement. You will know that forgiveness has begun when you recall those who hurt you and feel the power to wish them well. He who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love. It takes a strong person to say, I'm sorry, an even stronger person to forgive. In our lives, we must learn to forgive sometimes ourselves, others. Not that God needs our forgiveness, but sometimes we hold God hostage. How could you possibly do this in my life? In our lives, we must, when we are hurt, and you will be hurt, because this know also, in the last days, perilous times shall come. You have been hurt, you are being hurt, you will be hurt. When we are hurt, we must learn to get private victory in our lives. Don't run from the problem, get victory. The problem with running from our problems is we always take the biggest one with us. Don't run from your problems, seek victory in the midst of your problems. Number one, how to handle our hurt, we get private victory. Number two, how do you handle your hurt according to what we learned from Joseph? Number two, use it to comfort others. What? Use it to comfort others. Would you look at verse number 19 with me? Would you look at verse 19, please, in Genesis chapter 50? And I'm going to ask you to read two words aloud here in a moment. And Joseph said unto them, would you read the next two words? Fear, for am I in the place of God? Notice what he says in verse number 21. Now therefore, what are the next three words? Now therefore, fear ye not. What is Joseph saying? What did he do? He used his hurt to comfort others. Hey guys, what are you scared of? I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not living in bitterness. I'm not living, trying to get back at you, using our hurt to comfort others. When we have faced a hurt in our lives, God, then there's opportunities that God prepares us to be a comfort to others who are hurting. Sometimes God allows trials into our lives so that we can help somebody else. We need to use our hurt to comfort others. Number one, get private victory. Number two, use it to comfort others. Number three, how should we handle our hurt? Seek no revenge. Seek no revenge. What did he say in verse number 19? For am I in the place of God? You know what we do when we've been hurt? We're constantly seeking, wondering, how can I get back at them? They were wrong there. Boy, I sure hope something bad happens there. What did Joseph say when he was hurt? What an amazing perspective. Am I in the place of God? Guys, why would you think you need to lie to me? I'm not seeking any revenge. I have zero ill will toward you. And may I ask, in this room, who is sitting here? And when I say, who do you hold a bitterness toward, who's the name that God brings to your heart? May I say, that bitterness isn't hurting them. It's hurting you. Who do you hold a grudge toward? You know what Joseph said? Guys, am I in the place of God? God saw everything that happened. He'll take care of it as he sees fit, but it's not my job to get back at you. How many relationships have been broken? How many lives have been destroyed because we live with bitterness toward God or toward others because we cannot seek private victory? And instead of using our hurt to comfort somebody else, we seek revenge. We live a lifetime of revenge. I had a friend of mine I served on staff with, and he told me the story that an adult, they were in their 50s, an adult brother and sister lived maybe in their 40s. They lived across the street from one another, and they had a dispute over the family will when their mother passed away. They had a dispute over some things there, and they told each other they would never talk to each other again. And any time one of them walked out to their front yard, the other one would close the blinds. And another one would walk out, they wouldn't look at each other. And they lived across the street. True story. I talked to the man. He told me the story. Lived across the street from each other. What happened there? Instead of getting victory, they were living trying to get back at those who had hurt them. In your life and mine, what do we learn from Joseph? Seek no revenge. Joseph knew it wasn't his place. Who do you wish ill upon? Joseph, by the way, did have the power to hurt them. And he didn't. Number four. You're listening well. Number four, trust God's sovereignty. You say, but you don't understand how this hurt has changed the direction of my life. Trust God's sovereignty. You don't understand how this pain has ruined what I think has ruined my life. Trust God's sovereignty. What did Joseph, could not Joseph say the exact same thing from the pit? But Pastor Thompson, you don't understand how my brother selling me into slavery has changed the direction of my life. And what did Joseph say? But I trust God's sovereignty. You don't understand how this pain has made it so I can't ever see my family again. But I trust God's sovereignty. Verse number 20, what did he say? But as for you, you thought evil against me. Notice this. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass it as it is this day to save much people alive. What did he say? I don't understand this hurt, but I trust that God can use this hurt for good. I trust his sovereignty that even in the bad times, God is good. Even when I don't understand, God is guiding and directing me. As the songwriter said, all along, your hand has been guiding me, shaping my life to be a beautiful song. What is he saying? Oh, but you don't understand how if that hadn't happened to me, I would have. And we need to learn to look at it and say, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That it might come to pass this day that we would save much people. God had a bigger purpose than my pleasure. God had a bigger purpose than what I would have preferred. God had a bigger purpose, and I don't understand why Joseph had to be sold into slavery. I don't understand why Joseph had to spend those years in prison. I don't understand why that happened, but Joseph said he understood it was, you thought that you were doing something wrong to me, but you actually fulfilled the purpose of God in my life, and you were a tool that was used to help me accomplish what God wanted me to accomplish. Brothers, if you had never hurt me, I would never be in the place that I am to save all these people. What an amazing perspective. By the way, you don't get to that perspective. It took a couple decades to get there. You don't get to that perspective without doing the first few things we've talked about. Getting private victory, seeking no revenge, using our hurt to comfort others. Number five. You can't believe it. I told you I was going to go quick through these points, didn't I? See that? That children's outline's going fast. Number five, how do we handle our hurt? See the good that comes from the hurt. See the good that can come from the hurt. Verse number 20. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Understand that God can use the trials in your life, the pain in your life, the hurt in your life for his glory. Would you hold your hand here in Genesis 50? Turn with me. The only place we'll turn. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Have you been hurt in your life? Let's learn from Joseph how to handle our hurt. We're going to turn back to Genesis 50, wrap it up in a few minutes, but let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, beginning in verse number 7. I want you to see that Joseph wasn't the only one that saw the good that could come from his hurt. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Notice this in verse 8. "For this thing I besought the Lord," how many times, church? "Thrice, that it might depart from me." You know what that tells me? Paul didn't like his hurt. Paul wasn't happy about being hurt. Paul didn't like the pain. Paul wanted it gone. Paul wished his life were different. Paul didn't like what had happened. He said, "God, take it away. God, take it away. God, take it away." And I don't believe it was just in those three that quickly. I believe it was a season of time in his life. "God, would you please fix this?" Verse number 9. "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities." Notice this, "that the power of Christ may rest upon me." What did Paul learn to do? He learned to see the good that comes from the hurt. I wish God would have taken this away. I wish God would have fixed this when I asked him. I wish this wouldn't have happened in my life. But now I will rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse number 10, "therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." What did Paul say? "You know how I handle my hurt? I see the good that comes from the hurt." You know what the good is? Sometimes, as I said this morning, suffering compels us to seek the God that success tells us that we don't need. Sometimes the hurt brings me to my knees that I never would have gone there had it not been for that pain. Sometimes the hurt lets me know that he loves me in a way that I never would have known had I not faced that difficulty or that trial. I need to learn in my life to see the good that comes from hurt. Pastor Josh Ermler, when he came here, preached right when I got here, said a statement that I've not forgotten about people that had hurt him as a pastor and people that had said things and done things that were hurtful to him and his family. And he said, "I've sought to learn to view them as conduits of uncomfortable grace." It's an amazing perspective. I said, "Man, you're more spiritual than me. I call those kind of people jerks. You call them conduits of uncomfortable grace." What is he saying? God is using those people to teach me, to bring me closer to God. Oh, it's uncomfortable, but he's using those things to bring me closer to God. What is he saying? I'm trying to learn to see the good that comes from hurt. That's what Joseph said. Turn back to Genesis 50, please, and we'll wrap it up. That's what Joseph said. "You thought it was evil, but oh, God has used it in an amazing way, what you did to me. God has changed my life and used me in a way I never could have imagined because of the pain that you caused me in my life." Number six, how do we handle our hurt? Number six, repay evil with good. Would you read verse number 21 aloud with me? Genesis 50, verse 21. "Repay evil with good." Let's read that, verse 21 aloud. Ready? Begin. Now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Wow. Isn't that what Christ talked about in the New Testament? If thine enemy hunger, give him food to eat. If he thirst, give him something to drink. If he asks for your coat, give him your cloak also. If he asks you to go a mile, go two with him. Isn't that what he's talking about? Repay evil with good. If they hurt you, seek no revenge. And what did Joseph say here? Hey, guys, don't worry. Not only am I not going to try to get back at you, I'm actually going to help you. I'm going to nourish you. I'm not just you, your whole family. Oh, you hurt me and my family. You made it so that I didn't get to grow up with all of them, but I'm done with that. I'm going to seek to help you. I'm going to nourish you and your little ones. We're family. I'm not seeking any revenge. I'm seeking to help those, to repay evil to those that have done wrong to me. And then lastly, I want you to see that you will be rewarded for handling your hurts correctly. Verse number 22. Now notice what happens after all of this. Verse 22. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived how long? 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. You've heard me talk about this verse before. I love that picture that God gives them. Because what had Joseph lost? Joseph had lost all family relationships. Joseph had lost all family joys. Joseph had lost all family interactions. And when Joseph had lost, not only lost those things, he had lost all hope of ever having those things again. He was in Egypt. He was never going back to his family. There was no way aside from the providence of God that that hurt could ever be fixed. That which had been stolen from him is exactly that which God gave him back. God gave him the family. And then what does he say? He lived 110 years. And then it says, he saw the children under the third generation, and they were brought up upon Joseph's knees. It's that picture of just ultimate family closeness. Hey, little nephew, little niece, come on over here. Little Joseph Jr., come on over here. Come see Uncle Joseph. Hey, you lost your first tooth, huh? Oh, what happened there? Oh, tell me what's going on at school. Oh, you got that mean principal, Mr. Cyprian. Oh, yeah, you know about that? Is that true? That's not true, is it? You weren't alive way back then. He's only mean in this generation, not back here. What did he do? Isn't that a beautiful verse? When, by the way, had Joseph not handled his hurt this way, he never would have experienced all of this joy. Because when his brothers came, he could have gotten back at them, sent them to prison, but he never would have saw his dad again. He never would have had that relationship again. And by the way, it wasn't just for a week or two. Notice that in verse number 23, that Ephraim's children of the third generation, they were brought up upon Joseph's knees. That means they were all around every day. There they were. God rewarded him for handling his hurt correctly. Simple message tonight. So who has hurt you? What pain from yesterday are you allowing to dictate today and tomorrow? Let's learn from Joseph. How to handle your hurt. Number one, seek private victory. Long before they asked for an apology, long before the relationship was restored, Joseph got victory in his own heart. Use your hurt to comfort others. Seek no revenge. Trust God's sovereignty that when you don't understand, God can use the evil for good. See the good that can come from the hurt. Repay evil with good. And then trust God that you will be rewarded for handling your hurts correctly. Oh, it might not happen in a month or a year or two. For Joseph, it took a couple decades. And even after he showed them great love, they still lied to him and tried to manipulate him. But when he responded again, said, guys, fear not. Fear not. I'm not going to get back at you. You meant it for evil. God used this whole thing for good. I'm not upset. I'm not bitter. Guys, I'm going to nourish you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to care for you. I wasn't doing that just for dad. I was doing that for God. I wasn't being nice to you because dad was here. I was being nice to you because I got victory with God. And then God said, Joseph, you get to bring those boys up on your knee. you get 110 years. You get generations. You get all that time with your family that you never thought you would have. Do you think when Joseph was enjoying three generations of family memories, he was sad he forgave his brothers? Do you think when he was enjoying all those joys, he was sad that he didn't allow bitterness to consume him? In your life and in mine, bitterness will destroy us and those around us. We ought to be able to leave this room with not one ill feeling toward anybody in the world. We need to learn to get private victory. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. As we close with the time of invitation, the altar's open. You can come forward before the piano begins to play. If God has spoken to your heart and you'd like to spend some time in prayer, I don't know every hurt represented in this room. I don't know what you face. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know the bitterness that you're holding inside of you, the unforgiveness that you won't let go of. I don't know what it is. But in your life, would you seek to handle your hurt biblically? The altar's open. Let's spend some time in prayer. There at your seat or here at the altar. Life didn't turn out the way you thought it would. Trust God's sovereignty. Your life's been forever affected. Trust that God can use it for good. Somebody hurt you, and after you tried to show them love, they still hurt you again. Learn from Joseph. Let's not live with bitterness or unforgiveness toward anybody. God, how weak and feeble I am. So often when people hurt me, God, I don't respond like Joseph. I live with anger, with animosity. If I'm not careful, God, help me to follow the example of Joseph. God, help me to see the good, to trust your sovereignty, to get private victory. God, I pray that I wouldn't destroy my tomorrow living today with bitterness over what happened yesterday. And I pray that nobody in this church would do the same. I thank you for the way that your people have listened, the way that we've been able to sing together. All that's been taking place tonight, I pray that we would carry this with us this week. And help us, dear God, to handle our hurts biblically is my prayer. We love you, God. Help us to please you this week, please. We ask these things in the name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ.